Greetings, it's Dr. Burnett, publishing pusher, the all-in-body place of encouragement, cultural empowerment. Weekly, she'll engage conversations with entrepreneurs and creatives. And these insightful interviews are designed to help us build our businesses, respective brands, ourselves, and to hopefully propel us to that next level of greatness. Big Boss. So with no time to waste time, it's officially go time.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Annette, publishing pusher. Another great week, another great episode. I am going to be sharing with you, and I want to talk about earning a living as a writer. I just want to share some perspective with you. As a publisher, as an author, I can tell you that there is a plethora of information out here available on so many different platforms, resources, but we can't tap into all of them. And we can't talk about all of them coming on here just one time, because there are so many different things that encompass the topic of publishing, self-publishing, becoming an author, and all of those good things. But today I want to talk about earning a living as a writer. And so I'll start out by asking you a question. And the question is, what is your definition of success? What is your definition of success? Now, for a book author, a writer, it could be multifaceted, it could be deeply personal, and it's going to vary based on individual goals, aspirations, and circumstances. But here's something that some questions we can ask ourselves when we think about earning a living as a writer. The first thing is, what do I want from my writing? What are my expectations from what I plan to write? The second thing is, what do I want for the book that I'm writing? Where am I expecting for the book to go? Who am I expecting for the book to engage? And so many other things. The third thing is, what do I want for my career as an author? You need to have some things in your thought processes. We understand as we get into it, some other things will come in, but it is good for us to know and have some type of idea of what our career should look like if we become a consistent writer or book author. And a significant question is, what do you want for your life? You need to know that. So if you don't know, if you don't have your own definition of success, here's a few questions for you. How will you know that you can achieve it if you don't know what it is? How will you know what direction you must take to get to attain it if you don't know what it is? But what I want to do in this episode is share a few things. There are so many things, as I said, but I want to share a few things that I believe we can kind of zone in, focus on as we start moving towards earning a living as a writer. And this is before you actually start making some money, okay, people? So I'm going to share a few key areas that we need to consider as we're moving forward in this process. And one of those things is understanding your writing landscape. You need to do your research. You need to have an overview of your current writing. You need to understand what's happening in the publishing industry. What trends are out there? What are the reader's preferences? What are the demands in the market? What opportunities and challenges may impact you or may benefit you in this digital era? You have to be able to identify your niche and your audience, and the importance of understanding your niche audience, whether you are an author or a publishing company, is important. You have to gain some strategies so that you can target your audience and understand their needs. And you have to be willing to craft compelling content. So let me talk a little bit about traditional versus self-publishing. Traditional versus self-publishing. Traditional publishing has been around for a long time. That's why we call it traditional. We have some very large companies that have been doing this for years and years. And there used to be a set standard that really did not allow all of the people who really wanted to be an author the ability to be an author, because there were so many strict requirements. You could only connect with these companies. If it wasn't these companies, it wasn't nobody else. People were going to blackball you. If you weren't willing to pay this kind of money, and if you didn't have that kind of money, that was going to leave you out of that loop as well. So traditional, not that it's bad, it's a bad thing, but if you're trying to publish through traditional and you don't have the monies, or if they're not, if they don't have monies to give to you, like some people come up with content, a concept or whatever, they give it a publishing company, they permit, submit a proposal, and they're like, yeah, we really, really like this. Well, we'll give you this amount of money for you to be finished with this book within this amount of time. Well, in this day and time, that's still happening, but not as much. And typically more so for prominent people like the Oprah Winfrey's of the world who are writing books, Obama's, who are writing books, they're getting the big bucks. Now, that's not to say that you can't get the big bucks, but you're not in that league. Doesn't mean you can't get there, but just to understand why, because people are always saying, oh, I want to become an author. I want to be a millionaire author. I want this and I want that. And they don't understand the obstacles that may be out here that would prevent them from moving in that direction. Self-publishing, the flow is basically the same, other than as a self-publisher, you have to do your homework. You have to gain the content. You have to get the information, and you have to do all the work, and you're responsible for everything. Now, I wrote my first book in 2006. I self-published it, a book called Living Words of Encouragement. It was encouragements, devotions, sermons that I had done through the years. And I was sending pieces out to different people. That's when the email was king, and it's becoming king again. And I was sending content through email to so many people. And a good friend of mine said, is it possible that you could put some of these thoughts in one book? Because I'm always trying to tell people about what you talked about, and I can never, ever remember the scripture that went with the thought and back and forward and the point. But if you give us some of that in a book. So she was my inspiration, because God had already given me the inspiration and the content. And it was just a matter of pulling that content together, hoping that I formatted it correctly, hoping that I uplifted to a platform correctly. Hopefully I'd get my book out as I was planning. Now, I was really blessed, because when I did my first book, I was already on a lot of platforms. I was a part of the military community, women's ministry. I was also a part of a traditional ministry association. So I had many platforms that afforded me the ability to sell books without me having to say, I'm selling a book. Because I was on those platforms that were local, regional, and international, it gave me the opportunity to speak. When I spoke, people wanted to know what resources did I have. When I asked what resource, then I refer them to my book. So it's better if you have something to get before you get started, but that doesn't mean you can't do it. In the process, you'll learn how to brand yourself. You'll learn how to find ways to market your content when you get it. But branding yourself is so important, because people want you. I've had many people who buy every book that I personally write, and I'm thinking, why do you want that book about marriage? And they're like, because you wrote it. So what I'm saying is, you'll get that following. You'll get your niche area. But you have to get out there, and you have to decide which direction you are going to take. So I was really blessed in that I had those platforms. I learned what I could in self-publishing, all of the content that we have today, all of these great authors with self-publishing books, all of this content on YouTube, Facebook, you name it, it was not available in 2004 through 2005, 2006. So a little bit of stuff, but not much. So I had to figure a lot of things out, do a lot of praying in the process, and hope I would get it right enough to publish my book, which is what I did. And then after I published that book, people started asking me, how can I write my book? How can I become a self-publisher? Like, how can I do what you did? So I spent 10 years coaching people to become self-publishers. Coaching people how to write their own book, giving them the tools that they needed. And I still do that as well. But I also do books for people who don't want or don't have time to get that work done. So you have to decide, do I want to go with a traditional company? Do I want to try to go? Because your work might be rejected, or your work could be accepted, but 2 years down the line, they still haven't published your book. They still haven't gotten to your work because they're putting others in front of you. So there are people who started out trying to to traditionally publish a book and wound up becoming self-publishers because of the time factor and the follow through. But now you have traditional companies, you have self-publishing companies, you have hybrid companies. Why? Because so many people started publishing their own books that the traditional company said, oh, we got to tap into this. So they developed their own self-publishing entity in alignment with their company, or they'll say hybrid. But I would say to everyone, do your research. Do your due diligence. Maybe consider one of my Jumpstart Your Writing workshops if you're not quite sure of the direction you want to go, because you're going to get a strong foundation to get started. And also, in respect to earning a living as a writer, I'm giving you thought in advance of, because remember I said you have to build that brand. People need to begin to know who you are. How do you do that? You start putting content out. You start talking about what you're doing. You start letting people know. I have my S3 bottle says, if you don't show up, people don't know you exist. If you don't speak out, people don't know you have something to say. And if you don't share it, people don't know what's in your toolbox. So you need to show up, speak out, and share it. That's how you build your author brand. That's how you build your brand. You start talking about what you're going to do, even though it's not ready yet. You start sharing about what you're going to do, some little nuggets here and there to draw people in. You get people on your email list. Something else we can do in advance is start our monetization models. Why? Because we want to have diversified income streams. And the reason I say this is most people who write a book don't get rich from writing the book. There may be other things that they do, speaking engagements that may be called for because people are interested in that book. And because of the speaking engagement, like I said before, then people purchase your book. For instance, I was invited to speak somewhere. And they said, well, we'll give you a table and you can bring your books. I said, that's a good idea. Then I said, well, since we're going to do it as a workshop and you're going to give me a couple of hours to do it, why don't you purchase X amount of books, of my books, and put one in everybody's package as a resource? So that generated, there was 100 people there. My book was $15.99. It only cost me $2 and something to have that book created. So add another dollar maybe for the shipping and the handling. So maybe $4 total. So I was still able to earn a profit off of that book of $11 and something. So you times that times 100 people. That was profit in my pocket. because I got a bulk order towards the program that I was going to speak at. So when we talk about diversifying our income, we're talking book sales. You might want to look at audiobooks. Maybe there are some resources that you can create that go along with what you are doing. For instance, my Living Words of Encouragement. My ministry is called Living Word International Ministry. So that Living Word is there. I have t-shirts that say Living Word. I have a t-shirt that says Living for Christ. I have a t-shirt that says for the women's ministry, Sisters of Valor. They're Living for Christ. So you can play on whatever your title is of your book and create other merchandise, audiobooks, ebooks. You can also explore alternative resources. I mentioned the speaking engagements, but what about creating courses from your content? What about coaching your content? Very important as you're thinking about monetizing. These are things you don't wait until the book is done to then say, oh, now what am I going to do? But let me tell you, many people have done that. I spoke to a young lady last year. She came into a platform I was running and I asked her, how was her books doing? Because I know we were in a collaboration together and she'd been in at least two other collaborations that I had seen. And she said, they're not doing anything. And I said, well, what are you doing? And she says, well, I don't know what to do. So I'm thinking in my head, you invested to be a part of these collaborations. That's money spent, but you haven't figured out how many books you need to sell from each of those collaborations to break even. That's before you begin to make a profit. You've not done any branding. You haven't done any marketing. You haven't done anything. The book is not going to sell itself. The book will not sell itself. So we are going to have to do some work. So as I was talking about understanding your writing landscape, this is a part of your foundation for your success. We have to look at market dynamics and trends out there. We have to look at the genres. What genres are we going to write about? We're going to have to analyze those genres to see what's trending and is there anything that has popularity right now? We're going to have to identify the niches within those genres to offer opportunities for growth, for our growth, our resources growth. We're going to have to take the time to understand the behavior of the reader that we expect for the books that we are writing. We're going to have to research to determine where my niche people get their books, how they get their books. What are their preferences? Do they like ebooks over audiobooks? Have I done any polls? Are they concerned with the length of a book? I typically ask my authors, depending on what they're writing about 100 pages is good. That's around 10,000, 12,000 words. I mean, you can do more, but I like to get to the meat of the matter. I got a copy of Obama's book and I didn't read it because it was just too big. I just didn't want to read that big book. Sometimes I just want to sit down, get the book and get through it. Then I can always go back and savor it then. But sometimes I just want to sit down and I just want to read. You also need to understand the style of your writing and make sure you tailor it to the people that you want to connect with. Very important. What's the market? Is it already saturated with certain levels of genre? And are you willing to learn a different genre to move forward? You got to pay attention to see where there's room for innovation. Or can you bring a fresh perspective on content? Also, what's the technology that you're going to need to be able to move forward? You know, we have this digital revolution, but we have to understand and acknowledge the impact of digitization on publishing. We have to understand how ebooks, audiobooks, and online platforms have expanded and transformed. You heard me talk earlier about 2004, 2005, and 2006, and now we're in 2023, getting ready to go into 2024. A whole lot has changed. A whole lot more information is available to you. So what type of social media and engagement are you going to do? What are you going to explore? Because every platform isn't going to be a best platform for us. And we're going to have to take the time to really go through those platforms or at least start with a few and see if they're a good fit. You can always change something later, but unless you have resources and have an administrator who is going to be going to all of those platforms, putting your content and stuff, choose a couple of platforms and decide to work with those and see if you can build those. See if you see what you can do to build your audience. Critical. Think about the globalization and diversity. What's your global reach? How can your writing expand beyond borders? And I'm not just talking about your book being there. Many of us maybe can't get up and get on a plane and go to another country. But with some of these social platforms, we have the ability to do that. Just as simple as having a Zoom or StreamYard, creating your videos, doing them live, streaming them into different countries. And consider opportunities and also the challenges that may be generated as you try to reach your diverse audiences worldwide. I get excited when someone messages me and says, hey, I'm in the UK and I got your book and I'm enjoying your book and thank you so much. It really spoke to me and something like that. I don't know that person, but that person follows me on some platform and they got a copy of the book. So really we need to take the time and really do our due diligence in advance of getting that book out. And we have to be willing to shift, to change, because change is inevitable. And the way you start out with it may not be the way that you fully end with it, but really learning the different nuances so that when it is time to jump out there, guess what? You have the needed resources to do this. What are the emerging technologies? You know, right now, big time is AI-generated content, immersive storytelling, many other areas. But we have to dig into it to see what we are willing to do to get our content out. Maybe once you write your book, you'll create a podcast or you'll create a blog to get people to follow you. And it won't be all this in your book that you'll be sharing, but other relevant content that aligns with your book. Because you don't want to tell everybody what's in your book, because then what would it be the purpose of them getting your book, okay? So we have to understand the writing landscape, and it requires a blend of us learning market analysis, being technologically aware, paying attention to industry insights, and have a keen eye for what the future trends are. We have to learn how to encourage ourselves in our writing, because we want to stay informed, we want to be adaptable, and we want to be innovative. We are creatives. Writers are creatives. And there's so much available for us out here. So even though there's been significant changes, you can still do whatever it is. When people say, well, what I want to write a book? In this day and age, anything you want to do, you actually can do it. The question is, are you willing to do the work to accomplish it? Are you willing to generate the resources that are needed to accomplish it? I run this spot where I talk about my publishing company a little bit, but mostly it's Q&A. So people come in and can ask questions on publishing, branding, you name it, book launching, whatever goes along with writing and publishing. And I hear people come in and say, well, I want this, but I don't have any resources. Well, maybe don't eat out for a while or eat out less and put that money that you would have spent aside for this so that you can have a budget to go to forward in doing the creation that is needed for your book. I was talking to somebody and they said, well, we polled people and said to self-publishers, how much money did you spend in your self-publishing process? And people were saying, well, I didn't spend anything, but that's not true. You had to spend your time. You had to spend time and effort. You might've had to go to the library many times as gas you spent going. Those were hours that you spent on it doing your research. So you may not see the dollar figure from your pocket, but if you wrote it down and looked at all the hours you spent and paid yourself, oh, you would understand why publishing companies, to a degree, charge what they do to have books done for people. But I believe that there's a good balance in pricing. And I don't knock anybody's model. For instance, if there's a A, B, and a C company, and A charges $3,000 for everything, and B charges $7,000 for everything, and C charges $20,000 for everything, guess what? You do your homework to know where you fit best. And we don't knock anybody's model. We just choose the one that we feel that we can invest in. We don't have to complain about the other models. We just have to focus in on what we believe is best for us. And does it mean that A, B, or C is any better than the other or inferior to the other? No, it doesn't. Because people have different reasons as to why they are building their publishing companies. And the dollar is not often the number one thing for many. I have a publishing company. Yeah, we have resources coming in, but the dollar has never been my primary goal. And when I sell my books, my personal books that I've written, that money goes to our mission school in Kakamega, Kenya. Because that's what the Lord gave me direction on. So we have to get our direction and then make some wise decisions as to what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, so that we can move forward. So those traditional companies that used to be the gatekeepers and determined all the processes, nowadays you can create your own processes. When I say your own processes, I mean if you decided to become a publishing company, you could decide what is a best fit for your company. In my publishing company, we don't do all books. We don't do all genres. I am a faith-based company. So therefore, I'm a little more selective. And I don't want books that are vulgar. I don't want books where it's cursing all through the book. And I believe that what's written over here with all of that could be just as well written over here without those words and still get the same thought process through. But that's just me. So these are things that we need to think about. There are advantages and disadvantages to either direction that we're going to go in. For me, my major disadvantage is I gotta do the work, y'all. But now that I have grown, I started out doing everything. messed up some things in the process. The people connected to me didn't know it was messed up or overlooked it because it wasn't prominent and the content was relevant. But I had to go back at some point and say, oh, I need to redo this because my editing isn't as good as it should have been. Why? Because I did the editing and I didn't know I needed to go get another editor at the time. But later I went and got another editor and I just put a new edition of the book out. So there's pluses and minuses to everything that we do. And now even as a publishing company, I can do editing, but on my personal books, after I've done everything that I believe I need to do and I got it 100% in my mind, then I have to send it over to a professional editor for them to tell me it's not 100% as I thought it was. But that's what we need. We need a fresh set of eyes on the content that we are writing. And you have to be willing to pay for that. Editing is not cheap. And I know you saying my cousin said that they can do this for me. I'm gonna tell y'all, I had somebody do that for me one time and I had some issues, okay? So just because on their job they might do it doesn't mean that they are the professional editor. So do be mindful of that, people. So as a non-traditional self-publisher, some of the things that I really enjoy is having autonomy and control. I get to choose what I want to write, how I want to write it, within the confines of structure that is established, and some variance to that. But I get to choose what books I want to write. I don't have anybody telling me, well, we don't believe that people are interested in that. I get to decide. I get to have control over it. Not some control, but direct control. And even when I work with clients that I am doing their book, they are owners of their content. Their copyright for their book comes to them, gets sent directly to them for their files. And I want them to house their own book, brand them their own selves, market their own books, and become their own business. So I only house a few of my author's books, but that's because they couldn't for whatever reason. So for us as self-publishers, we have complete control over content creation, cover design, pricing, distribution channels. Yeah, it's some work. But at least you know you did it right now that you've learned. And you don't want to be one of those people that went to a traditional company, and then know people personally that did and told me the kind of money that they spent. And now they have 2,000 books in their garage because they paid all of this money and they had to get all of these books. Well, I like BOD, which is book on demand, meaning I don't have to house a bunch of books. But when I need to order a book for a customer, I can do it like a snap of the finger. And if I have an event that's coming up, I know that within 2 weeks, I can get the number of books that I need to have on hand. But we have to learn these things. So when we do self-publishing, we have speed and flexibility. We can move as fast or as slow as we so choose. We have quicker turnaround times with self-publishing because you're deciding how fast you want to get your book done. And that means you can respond swiftly to any market trends or reader demands because you're scanning and you're doing. Self-publishing will also generate you higher royalties if you sell your books yourself. Now, you can use different platforms that are available. And people say, well, I don't want to sell my book on there because they're taking my money. Well, my philosophy is this. if you choose to put your book on that platform, you haven't sold any books until a book is sold. You're not creating the hard copy of the book. So what are you complaining about? If you had $0 yesterday, and by the time that book is generated and that company gets their percentage and you get $4 to $6, that's $4 to $6 more than you had the day before. And all you had to do was put in the order for the book to send to whoever you wanted to send it to. And remember, everybody has their own model. You don't have to go with anybody's model. Create your own. I want to encourage my authors to create your own website. Get your own bookstore. Put your content on your own bookstore. Any other resources you have, put it on your bookstore. And then you brand yourself, you market yourself, and people come directly to you for what they want, and you are able to retain a higher percentage profit. You make yourself accessible. I know some authors who went through some traditional companies, got books done, and can't even get any more books. Or they're fighting in the legal system to get ownership of their book. We don't want to go through that. So even if you're going to go with a traditional company, you need to ask a lot of questions and you need to make sure it's in writing. And I would say when you get that contract, be willing to spend a couple of $100 to go to a lawyer to have them look at your contract real quick. Because if you have them major headaches, where it's thousands of dollars later when you're trying to get what you think you're entitled to. But all you had to do was your due diligence to start with and invest a little bit over there at that lawyer. Now, one of the drawbacks for a lot of people when it comes to self-publishing is the challenge is I gotta be responsible for marketing and promoting my work. And for some, if they don't have time, that can be a time-consuming process. It can be challenging. But this is where you would need to make sure you have some resources set aside so that you can go to someone who does this and they will put that content, put your content out. And I want to say there are some companies and some people that are going to have a bias against you as a self-publisher. But I believe that what's for me is for me. You should believe that what's for you is for you. And if that entity doesn't feed into you, then it's not meant to be. And what that entity thinks about you is really irrelevant. You just do what you need to do. You get your work done. And then you will be able to get to the point where you are earning a living, because you don't earn a living until you're generating the type of profits that you need. That means after you've done everything you needed to do and paid the money in for those things, what do you have left and can you live on it? Can you live on it? So you would have to lay out what you would have to do. That's why sometimes people are doing what? A myriad of books. Some people put out a new book every one or two months so that they have multiple books out there. Do what you got to do. But don't leave your day job too quickly. Make sure you have things in order. Be diligent. Be obedient, be faithful to what you're doing. And if you do that, I guarantee you, you can be successful. You can earn a living as a writer. So that's what I wanted to share with you on today. Thank you so much for joining us in Dr. Annette Publishing Pusher podcast. Next week, we'll be chatting with another author. And occasionally I'll just come in and share a masterclass, which is what I'll call this today. And remember, you can earn a living as an author. All right. I will.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Dr. Vinesh Chad Podcast, brought to you by John A. Publishing. Be sure to stay tuned in for future conversations and engagements. Check out the website, johnapublishing.org, and subscribe to this show on your preferred podcast app. Shout out to 95 for the production. Be blessed and be a blessing. Peace.